Greet each one in Jesus' name this morning. Name of the one who had compassion on us, who loved us, who called us to himself. I did enjoy the service so far this morning, enjoyed the thoughts this morning on satisfaction in Jesus, your thoughts, Brian, in the devotional. But please don't go to sleep yet. Sometimes we'd like to get saved and think about what God has done for us and stop with that. We don't want to stop with that. We like to go on beyond that. I had a really rough day yesterday. Well, it wasn't like I had planned. I thought about it Friday evening, what all we'd like to get done on Saturday. Don't we do that sometimes? Before I even went to bed, somebody else was making plans for me for first thing in the morning. And that was okay because we want to do God's work first. But it seemed like it went that way all day long. And finally, when I was able to sit down again and work at the message for this morning, then the earthly house needed work, and I wasn't able to get to the spiritual. And you wonder sometimes, why does God work that way? Why does God do that? And several times during the week, I thought I had a message, and not until yesterday did I know what the Lord had for us this morning. And when I went to study it, he gave me other things to do. So I'd like to turn to Jude and verse 20 to 23 for text verse this morning. I'd like to think about having compassion. And I know that's what we've discussed already in Sunday school, along with other things. But I'd like to speak and look at and consider having compassion. Jude verses 20 through 23. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. We like verses 20 and 21. We really like those verses where he talks about building ourselves up in our most holy faith, keeping ourselves in God's love, and just enjoying that fellowship. Who of us doesn't enjoy our fellowship with Christ? It's so precious to us that we have given our lives to him and we know we've been forgiven of our sin. It's so precious to us. We love it. But then, verse 22 and 23, he says, this relationship, this compassion needs to do something in our hearts, in our life. It needs to compel us to go make a difference, saving them with fear, pulling them out of the fire. What is compassion? Compassion is a feeling of deep sympathy and sorrow for another who is stricken by misfortune, accompanied by a strong desire to alleviate the suffering. Sure, when Brian arrived in West Virginia, he was moved with compassion. And we see people in a hard situation. Strong's, the definition that Strong's gives for compassion is, you have the bowels yearn. In our being, we feel our feelings move for that individual. We feel sympathy, we feel pity. We're moved with compassion. But I'm troubled this morning because as I think about the compassion that I have on my neighbors, for my neighbors, the compassion I have for the lost isn't as great as what it should be. And sometimes when we start to talk about it, we get to talking on a subject, someone might make the comment that you're preaching to the choir, saying, we don't need this. We both feel the same way about this. But well, as I considered this subject, I don't really think that I'm preaching to the choir this morning. First of all, I'm preaching to myself because we need more compassion. Why do I spend so much time on self-centered projects, on working hard for money for myself? Why don't I spend more time reaching out? I'm troubled with that. Yet sometimes when I sit in a church service and we're considering the gospel and we're talking about it, I say, why am I sitting here soaking it up when there's other people out there that don't have it. But when I look around the congregation, I know there are many instances of, and examples I could give of individuals here that have had compassion on other individuals. And I've seen it, and I've received it. People that have had compassion on us and have helped us out of difficult situations. But I also know that we spend a considerable amount of time on self-centered interests. We spend a considerable amount of time on things like the internet, on things like making nice things for ourselves, on spend money on leisure, and maybe it's not all wrong, but maybe we could include other people more. Are we doing the best that we can do? No, we're not. We're not doing the best that we can do. Every day we need to try again. Does it really matter whether we try or not? Matthew chapter 25. Turn here. Let's read a few verses from Matthew 25. Matthew 25 and verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? And when saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say unto them that are on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not unto one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal. Does it really matter whether or not we have compassion? I really believe that he's speaking here to believers. He's speaking here to people that thought that they were righteous, people that thought that they were part of the kingdom. And many of them were. They had done Christ's work here on earth. But then there were those that thought they were, but they had done so little, if anything, for Christ. There's a future dividing coming, and he describes it here as a dividing between the sheep and the goats. And that doesn't mean as much to us because we don't herd animals like they used to. But God says, I'm going to gather all these people in from out in this world, and I'm going to divide between them. And I'm looking for something in each one of you. And I'm going to put the sheep on one side and the goats on the other. And God is looking for compassion. He's looking for people who are willing to waste their lives like Jesus did. And that's how we think about it in an earthly sense. Why would you waste your time with him? He's not worth wasting your life over. But Jesus was willing to have himself destroyed for us. And that is what we are to do today. So, let's answer these questions that Jesus gave here. When was the last time that you gave someone something to eat? When was the last time you gave someone something to drink? Someone that was thirsty, either spiritually or physically, because we reach out to the physical to reach into the heart. When was the last time you gave someone clothes? Someone didn't have enough of material possessions to provide for themselves, and you reached out and gave it to them. When was the last time you took somebody into your house that needed a place to stay? When was the last time you went and visited the sick? When was the last time I went and visited a sick person? Or went to prison and visited somebody? Don't we have opportunities? Do we have opportunities? Jesus said the poor will always have with us. So I know there's opportunities for us today. If we don't have compassion on the souls around us, then do you think God will have compassion on us? Do we think He'll have compassion on us? Why would God have compassion on us and allow us into heaven just because we say we believe in Jesus, but we don't live it? But we don't live it. Matthew 20, verse 29. Turn back a few pages. How did Jesus have compassion? Matthew 20, 29. And as he departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him, and behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David." And the multitude rebuked them, because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David." And Jesus stood still and called them and said, "What will ye that I should do unto you?" And they said unto him, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. And immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. You notice here what the common man, how he related to this situation here. Sees these two blind men, and Jesus was speaking to the people. He was walking along. He was mingling with them. And here these two blind men start crying out, shouting, trying to get the attention of Jesus. And the people around them said, "Jesus doesn't have time for you. We're not going to stop for you. We're going to keep on going." Tried to push them aside. But Jesus said, "No, I have time for everyone." And he stopped and he said, "What do you need?" And he gave them what they needed. And I think that's a lesson to us today. Every person is worth our time. God makes the arrangements, who he wants us to meet, who he will give us opportunities to meet. And wants us to know that every person is worth our time. It's just amazing to me, the people that God can touch, the people that God can change. But we have a program that we need to do. We have a church service to attend. We have our program. We don't want it interrupted. And we saw the story of the priest and the Levite that didn't want to stop and help the man along the road, because they were called to serve in the temple. And if they had stopped and the man had died, they had made themselves unclean. They would not have been able to serve. But they missed the true service that God wanted them to give. Are we missing out on the true service that we need to be giving? Matthew 9, verse 35. Turn back a few more pages. And Jesus went about all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad, as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." See Jesus here again, moved when he saw mankind, the multitudes of mankind, who did not have a shepherd. And we see people that way sometimes. So many people, so many souls, moving into eternity with no shepherd. It moves me when I hear of the shootings that we hear of, both of the murder and of those that have murdered, and you wonder, where did they go and were they ready to go? And there is no hope anymore. Or of a neighbor that's killed in a car accident, and you wonder, did I do what I could have done? You are an answer to somebody else's prayer. You can be an answer to somebody else's prayer. Did it ever occur to you that other people are praying for workers in the kingdom? Generations past and also today, you can be an answer to that prayer and go and work in the kingdom. What is the ultimate expression of compassion? Well, we immediately think of Jesus when we think of that ultimate expression, that he came from heaven and he died for us, laid down his life for us so that we can have life. And we say that's the ultimate expression of compassion. And that's what we are to do in return. Ultimate expression of compassion today is to spend our life, give our life, spend our resources in compelling other people to come into the kingdom. We have a mission in Bangladesh. Who's the best missionary in Bangladesh? Can we give a multiple choice? A, B, C, and D? Donald, Clyde, Tim, or Aman? I haven't been there, but I've heard the stories that have come back. And I believe that probably Aman has done the most in witnessing and reaching out. It's his culture, it's his people, it's his language. He knows it well. Sure, he's scared of it, but he has a love for the souls. Who's the best missionary here? Should we bring Aman over here and have him be a missionary here because he does so well in Bangladesh? I don't think so. You're the best missionary to North America. God calls you to somewhere else. I'm sure he can give you the grace and strength you need and the ability you need to witness to those people. But right now, God has called you here, and you are the best missionary here. As you understand the struggle of living the American dream, so many people are drunk with today. You understand it. You live with it, and you can help other people get free from it. How are we going to do it? Acts chapter 3. Turn over to Acts chapter 3. Here's the story of Peter and John having the opportunity to change someone else's life. There's a couple pointers we can take from this on how Peter and John had compassion, how we can give compassion today. Acts 3, verse 1, we'll read down to verse 11. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. What can we learn from Peter and John here? They looked for opportunities while they were going about their daily duties, the things they did every day. And they see this man, and this man sees them. They took the opportunity. And we need to look for opportunities as we're going about our daily living. We're not asking all of you to quit and go be full-time missionaries. I don't know who would support all of you, but you are to work. And as you work, you're given opportunities to reach out. What can you give? You can only give what you have. You can only give what you have. Peter and John had the ability here to grant the miracle of healing. You have the opportunity, you have the resources to grant the miracle of healing. You can pray for people in their infirmities, and God can heal them, especially spiritual. God's not going to ask you to do something that he doesn't give you the ability to do. And when he does it, he gives you the resources. And if the resources aren't there, then I don't believe that God is asking you to do it. Sometimes we don't notice the resources that he gives us. Another thing I noticed here is they did it in the name of Jesus. When you serve, do it in the name of Jesus. Why waste an opportunity to serve and not do it in the name of Jesus? And it's easy to stop and change a tire for somebody else along the road. That sometimes is the easiest part. Sometimes the hardest part is to do it in the name of Jesus. When we reach out, let's always tell them what we are doing this because of what has been done for us. People need to hear this message. Another thing I notice here is that Peter didn't just say, get up and walk and expect the man to do it. He also reached out to help him. Peter wasn't afraid to get his hand dirty. Do you know what cripples smell like? Do you know what they look like? Can't take care of themselves. Other people carried him and laid him there. I'm sure it was the same then as it is now. Peter wasn't afraid to reach out his hand and lift the man up. Let's not be afraid to get dirty. But what are the resources that we have today to do this? Can any of you work a miracle of healing? What can you do? Are there any answers from the audience this morning? What you can do to show compassion? We had company over the other Sunday evening, and it was family, so I guess it was okay. And we intended to spend the evening with them, but we had a neighbor that needed some help, and he was pretty much about out of his mind, I think, because life was giving him so much trouble. It seemed completely out of control. And he stopped at our driveway, and I went down to talk to him, and I said, what can I do for you? And he said, he saw I was carrying some water. I had just gotten some water. He said, get me some water. So I went back up to the house and got him some water. It was hot outside. And brought water back down to him. And he said, oh, I'm just in so much trouble. He said, can you drive me home? And he gets over in the passenger seat. We only lived a mile from, he wasn't even a mile from home probably. Can you drive me home? So I drove him home and tried to talk to him about salvation, tried to talk to him about his problems, and his girlfriend was there, and she described it one way. When I was talking to him, one of the questions he asked me was, if I take my life, I won't go to heaven, will I? And I tried and tried to talk to him because I was afraid. It surely looked like that's what he was about to do. And partway through, after an hour or so, he packed a bag and he walked off, and I said, where are you going? He said, I'm going to the woods. I'm going away. Then he said, I have a friend to pick me up. And later on, we saw him in the distance, and he hollered back, and he said, my friend's car broke down. He won't get me. I really wondered where he went. And his girlfriend said, he has to deal with his demons. And it sure seemed that way. He was dealing with his demons. What can we do? What can we do for these people? I read a quote, "Compassion will cure more sins than condemnation." And it's too easy for us to be condemning and think that we're going to change people, when really we need to have compassion. Seems like as Mennonites, we've made a lot of practical applications to the Bible in our everyday life. And I'm not knocking that at all this morning. I'm not going to knock that at all, because I do believe that we need to live the Bible out in everyday life. And I believe that it has blessed us in many ways. I believe we would have lost many more of our children, of our young people, to the world if we hadn't done it. But it does seem like sometimes we're very weak in compassion. And we have decrees, we have church standards we try to live by, lines we don't want to cross. Sometimes I wonder if maybe we've missed some of the important ones. How often should we require each other to share the plan of salvation to somebody? How long can you be a Christian if you haven't shared the plan of salvation to somebody? And it's as easy as asking somebody if they've heard of the good news. They can find relief for their guilt. I haven't found a single person that would deny the existence of guilt in their life. Even people that don't believe in God. And I ask them, what about your guilt when you do wrong? No one has denied that they have guilt. Where does that come from? It doesn't come from evolution. It comes from God. If someone has not been reaching out and drawing other people into the kingdom, shouldn't we put them out of the body until they see their error? That would be radical. Because those things are, we like to draw lines on black and white issues. And when someone crosses a line, we can work with that issue. And we're saying, you crossed the line. And they said, no, I won't change. So we have to put them out of the church. A lot of times it's gross sin. And we find that teaching in the Bible. But something like reaching out and having compassion is, it's relative. How can you decide, you know, when is someone having compassion and when aren't they? How can you judge that in somebody else's life? God judges it in our life. Einstein said, "It is high time that the ideal of success should be replaced with the ideal of service." We'd all like to be a success. Let's have this ideal of being service to mankind. The measure of a man is not the number of his servants, but the number of the people that he serves. D.L. Moody. Well, what opportunities do we have? We talked about that in Sunday school this morning. Probably don't have to talk a lot about that now. There are a number of things that we can do that don't cost us a single thing. Intercessory prayer. Doesn't cost us anything to pray for someone. A letter of encouragement costs very little. Speaking to someone about their soul's need, whether warning of sin or of Jesus and of forgiveness of it. What does it cost you to do that? Even the poorest person can do that. And then, of course, there's many more things. Rebuilding, replacing lost goods, giving of food. A lot of ways that we can show compassion if people will respond to it. One of the things we probably could do a lot more of is inviting people into our homes for a meal, inviting people in, showing them Christ's love. And that's, you can have a big man, you can have someone hard-hearted, but love will melt that heart. Compassion melts that. And even the smallest, insignificant person can bring down the biggest, meanest, baddest person when showing the love of Christ. So you have the power to do his work. Let's do it with compassion. Let's kneel for prayer. Father in heaven, we want to beseech you this morning. We want to call upon your name. We want to glorify you, magnify you, lift you up as the Almighty One, the one who deserves all our praise, all our energy, all our talents, everything we have. You deserve that we would return it to you because you made us and you have blessed us in many ways, blessed us above many people on this earth today. Father, thank you for these blessings. But I pray this morning that it would not be a downfall to us, that it would not cause us to fall asleep and to forget about the great work that we have before us. Father, it's difficult to reach out here in America. Seems like there's so many people that are pursuing the American dream, so busy paying the next bill, so busy running after the next amusement or fun thing to do. They don't have time to hear your word. And Father, I pray that you would give us opportunities. And Father, I pray that you give us wisdom. Father, I pray that you would give us strength. It takes much strength from these mortal bodies that we have to continue to give and serve. And I just pray, Lord, that you would sustain us when we spend ourselves for you. So Father, I pray that you would bless those this morning who are weak. Here, give them strength. Bless those who are strong. Help them to not fall to the evil one. So go with us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.